Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation, Monday edition. Today I'm going to talk about forest fires, money fires, and prairie fires. So play the song for a minute or two as people get warmed up here. Notes for the Savage Nation. Forest fire jihad. You know there are forest fires burning out of control in Australia that have killed over 170 people. And while this is going on, an Islamo-fascist group in Australia has urged Muslims to set fires in Western nations as an act of terrorism. That's correct. Australia has been singled out as a target for forest jihad by a group of Islamic extremists urging Muslims to deliberately light bushfires of terror. Now, what amazes me is the imam who is preaching this has not been taken out of his mosque by his hair and thrown into a dungeon. What is amazing to me is the weaklings we have running the West. The weaklings and the crooks, I should add. The second topic is the great Swami Obama. Tonight, Obama the Magnificent, of course, will give his first primetime press conference in an attempt to sway America to put themselves into debt unto the third generation. And of course, only selected people within the media will be picked to ask questions that make Obama the Magnificent look even more magnificent. I don't know that anyone will be able to get a real question through to Obama the Magnificent, but I believe that the Swami Obama will be at a staged event tonight with prearranged questions designed to help Obama the Magnificent shove his pork barrel Mussolini-like bill down the throats of the American people. Third topic today that I want to talk about is Madoff, the crook. Madoff the Crooked has agreed to settle his civil case with the SEC without admitting guilt. Now, this is astonishing since the SEC should be in jail. Virtually the entire Securities Exchange Commission should be behind bars, but they've struck a deal with the crook of crooks. Where is the honesty in government that Obama promised? Is he keeping the gangsters at the SEC on because they know too much about what's really going on? I don't think Madoff will spend a single day in jail. But that's my opinion. It's one man's opinion. Now, today we're going to talk about these topics and more on the Savage Nation. I could ask you what you would do if you were the leader of Australia and an Islamic imam is urging Muslims to deliberately light bushfires as a weapon of terror in your country. I know what I would do. I know exactly what I would do. I know exactly what I would do if I were the leader of a nation and we had a so-called holy man saying, burn, baby, burn. I know what I'd do. I'd have the police gather him up. I would take him up in a house. One sure way to stop this kind of hate preaching. West, I don't know who is going to save this country or Australia or New Zealand or France or Germany or Britain from this nightmare that we're living through. I don't know who's going to do it, and I'm hoping to God that we don't see 1,000 prairie fires emerge in this country. And of course, when I say prairie fires, I mean something other than actual fires. I mean something that has been used, a word that's been used by the left for years. And the fact of the matter is it will only be 1,000 points of light that can save America. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. What's amazing to me is that $100 billion was taken out of this bill by the time it went from the House to the Senate and back again. And Nancy Mussolini wants the $100 billion put back in. Listen to what I just said to you. Nancy Mussolini wants $100 billion put back into the bill that was removed. Now, why would Nancy Mussolini want $100 billion? Do you know that even Rasmussen is reporting the public is against this by about 60, 70%? 60 to 70 to the other version, 40-30. It's 6 to 4, 7 to 3 against this. I have people within the government who are reporting to me they're getting 99 to 1 against this bill coming into the Senate offices. They've never seen anything like this. Yet the crooks continue to cavort inside the Senate well as though they're at a wedding or a bar mitzvah, rocking back and forth on their heels, smiling at each other as though it's all a joke, saying, you know what? I'll give you an aquarium, you give me a bridge. You want an aquarium? I'll take an aquarium. You want a bridge? You got a bridge. I don't know if you're a fan of The Sopranos as I am. I'm watching replays. It's so well done. But I'm reminded of the Sopranos episode where the organized criminals of New Jersey get a guy, a gambler, a friend of theirs, who's not involved in the crime, and he demands going into a private gambling game with them, and they say, Tony tries to warn him and says, don't do it. You shouldn't do this, Pat. Pat's a sick gambler. Pat's a degenerate gambler. Pat gambles and loses, and he keeps raising the stakes till he's into the mob for a great deal of money, and they got the VIG on him that's so big, meaning the interest, the weekly VIG, that he can't pay it back. So eventually, they take over the sporting goods store, and slowly but surely, as the series emerges, this guy who had a thriving, gigantic sporting goods business is completely bankrupted. The mob steals all the stuff out the back door and sells it on the street. They use his credit cards to buy first-class air tickets. At the end, the man is broken and the store is empty. That's your Congress at work, in my opinion. Your Congress, basically to me, with the exception of a few great men, and there are a few great men out there. I mean, I'm reminded these guys are like our heroes. They're our patriots. And they're all from the Southeast. We have turncoat Republicans who, in my opinion, should be put in prison for what they're doing. That's shaky old Susan Collins. Shaky old Susan Collins from Maine with the shaky little voice. The shaky little Susan Collins who shouldn't be running a Carvel stand in Alaska. Arlen Spectacle. Arlen Spectacle, the Philadelphia lawyer who helped Ira Einhorn escape a murder rap when he was a Philadelphia DA. And then, of course, that other prize of humanity, Senator Snow. Senator Olympia Snow. Snow Collins and Specter turned coats, went over to the Obama side to bust out America like the gangsters in The Sopranos. It's unbelievable to me. Now, you want to talk about these things? Go ahead. Do yourself a favor. Talk amongst yourselves. I'm not sure I do. I've already talked about it. So what do I'm going to ask you your opinion. Okay, I'll ask you your opinion. Go ahead. I'll ask you your opinion. I did a thing last week that I got flooded with emails on that was a comedy piece, since this is such a horrible time we're living through. I know people waking up in the middle of the night now, they can't sleep. People with young children, they're waking up every night. They see us living through the darkest of times. They see this president who arrived on the scene as a result of a perfect storm. A man who was completely out of place as president of the United States. All a result of the perfect storm. Bush destroyed the economy. He drained the treasury. He sold our manufacturing base. Next came John McCain running the worst presidential campaign in history, praising Obama constantly, refusing to let his subordinates attack Obama. He nominates an unqualified Alaskan hillbilly as his vice president. So America became sick of John McCain. That was blow number two. Third, Wall Street collapsed at the height of the election season, and that was blow number three. And America elects an unknown college professor as its president. A far-left radical college professor who has never run a hot dog stand, is now demanding $1 trillion of your money. Now, as Mitch McConnell said last week, if you spent $1 million a day from the time Jesus walked the earth until now, that's the amount of money Obama the Magnificent wants from you. I'll be right back.
Savage.
I found my thrill on Blueberry Hill.
times. The truth is, you know, you say you're living in bad times. I've been waiting for this all my life. I mean, the fact of the matter is I'm a pessimist. A lot of bad things happened when I was a kid. You know, not the terrible, terrible things, but let's just say a lot of blows occurred, and I'm a pessimist. I've been a pessimistic person all my life. But I'm capable of joy, and I've always been very popular. When I was young, I was the center of attention with the crowd. The guys loved me. I was like the shortstop. But behind all happy faces is a sad face, and that's why the thespian cufflinks I've had since childhood, the happy, sad face. The point is that we're living through very bad times. Obama's going to make them much worse, not better. We know that they're crooks. Both sides of the aisle with about five different people saving us from a total disaster. And the fact of the matter is people are frightened right now. You know, I was riding my bike today to meet a friend for a cup of coffee. A friend I haven't seen in a while. And all I thought about was that I was glad I was basically brought up in a slum. I was actually happy that I was raised in a slum as a child. Because I look around the people of the county that I live in part-time. And I see people who, that if Obama told them to turn their children over to a certain collection facility for the sake of the environment, they would do so. 50% of them would take their children and give them away to the government if they thought it would stop global warming or if it was good for the environment. I see sheeple walking around me as though they're the Stepford Wives combined with the pod people. I've never seen anything like it. And I said, thank God I was raised a cynical child by a cynical father. I wouldn't be able to survive. And thank God for the world I was. That's all I can say. Because we need people to understand the danger we are in. You know? And I don't see it happening out there. I mean, sure enough, I see it occasionally. I do. I hear it in radio occasionally. I see it on TV once in a while. Even Fix News Network has a guy from Australia who I respect. He laced into one of the spokesmouths for the Obama machine today. He's far better than a leprechaun. He has no star appearance on Fix News Network, but this guy from Australia knows what he's talking about, and he asks real questions. I'm surprised the LEP lets him get away with it, that it doesn't go through the LEP's vet. But I wanted to say something else. I was joking last week on this show, The Savage Nation, as you know. And as you know, I tend to digress. That's part of my nature. And I digress because I digress. I digress, therefore I am. I mean, what can I say to you? I digress because I enjoy digressing. Otherwise, I'd be bored and you'd be bored. So I digress. I digress to last week when it was in the middle of something very heavy, very deep, very dark, very sad. And I got into my normal comedic reverse self in order to save myself from despair. And I talked about savage. I was reading the Bible about the, I think the prophecies or something. I forget in the back of the Bible. I was not reading the prophecies. I was reading, let me just go exactly what I was reading. I was reading the back of the Bible where they were having, not First Chronicle, Proverbs. So I was joking. I said, do you think I actually believe every word of it? I don't. And I did this. Listen to this. It's easy to write this stuff and sound smart, like in the old days, sitting around under an olive tree, walking around old Jerusalem. You know, there shall be no mischief befall the righteous, but the wicked are filled with evil. All right, take a walk. Throw them out of the cafe. Troublemaker looking for free coffee. A wise son is instructed of his father, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. Get out. Take a walk, you old bum. You know, how much can you believe? You think I believe in all of this, every word of it? How can you? Basically written by old men under olive trees looking to make a buck. They were the journalists of that time. Proverbs were written by unemployed journalists. There were no newspapers then, so they walk around writing Proverbs. You know what I'm saying? They figured to someone, ooh, look what he said, a rebellious man seeketh only evil. Therefore a cruel messenger shall be sent against him. All right, let's hear a little bit more. Here's a shekel. Speak more. Speak, sage. Tell us more Proverbs. Whoso rewardeth evil for good, evil shall not depart from his house. Whoa, here's another shekel. Hey, man, look at this guy. Come around this guy. He's good. He's on a roll. Throw him a couple of shekels there. You want a lox? What do you want? A fish? All right, let's hear another one. A merry heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Whoa, throw him the shekels. Today they'd be working for Gannett newspapers. There it is. I thought it was funny. A lot of people asked for it, so I saved it for you and brought it back. So cynicism sometimes works, sometimes it doesn't. I mean, if you're a professional cynic, you wind up on HBO telling dirty jokes, because at the end of the day, that's what you devolve to if you have no brains. you have to revert to F words and B words, and you basically have to walk around as a lowlife and use drugs eventually. And then if you're really bad, you wind up in Congress. And if you're horrible, you become a senator. I mean, you just keep moving down the scale of life. But here we are, a bleak future. I feel like it's Fahrenheit 451 time. You know, if Obama the Magnificent gets this trillion-dollar burnout, what does he do next for his next act? Tell me where he goes next. Tell me what he does to up the stakes. 5 executive orders in 1 week, a trillion-dollar burnout, bust the economy out for the third onto the third generation. What does he have to do to keep the attention of the American people? Tell me what left-wing policy will next be imposed upon us. Because you understand something as much as I do. When you see them pare back $100 billion and Nancy Mussolini says, you better put that $100 billion back in or else you're going on the farm, you know that this has nothing to do with stimulating the economy. You know this is 40 years of pent-up, grotesque, liberal social engineering that they are trying to enact under the guise of an economic stimulus program. I've had bad times in my life. I know how I pulled myself out of it. I cut back on spending. I cut back on spending drastically, and I worked my way out of my hard times by getting a better job. I went back to school, and I worked very hard. That's how I got myself out of my own recession. The government didn't help me. In fact, the government stole my birthright from me. The government tried to steal my very birthright. They said white males need not apply. These positions are only for minorities, women, illegal aliens, transvestites, whatever you want, anything but a healthy heterosexual white male, they need not apply. Now, another man would have broken from the strain and heartache and cracked. And I believe me, I almost did. I remember taking showers in the 70s in a house I had bought, which had old wallpaper on it. And some of it, I mean, it was like old California house. And it was like wallpaper about Jesse James, you know, this and that. It was unbelievable. It makes you into a criminal. It makes you want to think like a criminal, and only through the grace of God did I not act like a criminal. But inside, I became as hard as somebody who hates the system. Trust me, that's what happened to me from the liberal social engineering of 30 years ago. And here we go again.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. Oh, boy, what a day this is. Fact is, his poll numbers are dropping, just as the popularity of the pork barrel spending is being circulated and people get to see what's in there. His popularity is plummeting, which is why he's giving a pitch, you know, to sell it. When you see what's in here, I mean, it's enough to make your hair stand up. $100 billion was taken out of the pork barrel spending, and Pelosi wants it back in. What was the money for? Most of that's going for education spending. Now, let's pause there on education spending. Since many of our schools are flooded with illegal aliens, that's, again, more money going to sustain illegal aliens. Do you know that there's an attempt to put back in the Senate bill a clause which says that the Real ID law will be used should contractors want to hire someone, they have to run it through an e-system where they will verify whether the person's in this country legally. Do you know that the rats in the Senate won't even vote on that amendment? Are you aware of the fact that the rat bums, thieves, crooks, these rat bums in skirts and suits will not even assure you that that money in construction will hire American construction workers? So you look at this bill. Of the $100 billion that was taken out that Mussolini wants back in, education, school construction, what does that mean? What does that mean, school construction, education spending? It means special interest money. Special education, that's where the money's going to go again. Again, the children who need more help are going to get more help. This is not about stimulus. That's not going to add any teachers' jobs. It's just funding pork barrel projects that the liberals have wanted for 40 straight years. Now, what new jobs does that $100 billion create? What jobs does it create in education spending? A lot of the $40 billion for state governments that's going to go to state governments is simply going to go to back up state pension plans and health care plans for the former state workers. Where's the job creation in that? You want me to bail out civil servants who have gargantuan, grotesque pensions, I should pay that out of the stimulus bill? You're kidding me. Let me say that again. $100 billion is removed. Mussolini wants it back in. Of the $100 billion, $40 billion of it's going to go for state governments to pay back state pensions and health care plans for their former state workers. There's an interesting article I linked up on michaelsavage.com that you must see about the fireman crooks in New York City. You won't believe this story. I got to find the article here. It's about them going out here. Fire crooks scam pension dollars. More than 70% of firefighters who retired in the past 5 years in New York City did so on disabilities. They said, oh, I hurt my hand. Oh, I hurt my back. And they work in the last year as much as they can to raise their salary. So New York has to pay these crooks $1 billion a year. They're no different than Madoff. In other words, firemen who scam the system like this are no different than Bernie Madoff. They're just stupider and don't have the same guts as Bernie Madoff. 70% of firefighters who retired in the past 5 years in New York City did so on disabilities. $85,000 a year. You're going to pay them for life? They claim they were hurt on the job. Hurt what? Hurt what? So you're going to tell me that a lot of the money is going to back up state pension plans and health care plans? It's going to go for things like this. The stimulus bill is really a spending bill. It's not a job creation bill. We all know that. And the reason it's losing so much support is people are starting to look into it. I haven't seen a single poll that shows that it's gaining any acceptance whatsoever. It's falling rapidly. You hear what I'm saying? $2 trillion bill that someone's going to have to pay in the future. That's why Obama the Magnificent is trying to sell it so hard. And that's why it's been out there so long. They can't close the deal. They're supposed to close it last Wednesday, no. Thursday, no. Friday, no. Harry Reid blurted out that he had the votes for it. Obviously, he didn't have the votes for it. So they got the turncoats. They got the three suspects that we've known about for years. You call them rhinos, I call them something else. A guy like Arnold Allinspector is not a rhino. Olympia Snow and Susan Collins are not rhinos. They're something else. They're turncoats. You understand this? So what should I do about it? All I can do is talk about it. You say talk is cheap. It is cheap. But eventually public opinion, when you have a democracy, will change things. Unfortunately, we're not living in a democracy anymore. We are no longer living even in a putative democracy. When I think back to last spring when we primarily stopped the granting of amnesty to illegal aliens through a letter-writing, email-writing campaign on the order of this, and we stopped it because the senators listened to us, and it won't work now because there's too much money at stake. These people are rolling in so much potential fat that they just won't let it go. It's like asking a heroin addict. You take a heroin addict and you put him in a room filled with packets of heroin, and you tell him don't use drugs anymore. You take a diabetic and you bring him into a candy store and tell him don't have any of those jelly beans. You take a reformed alcoholic on a march through a winery and say to him, don't sample the wine. You're asking these sick people called senators to do the right thing. You're not going to get the right thing. Basically, the government has been hijacked. And I've said this over and over and over again. You could send 10 million letters. They're going to do what they want to do anyway. We no longer have a republic that I know. I can't tell you that we have a republic. Now, let's add up the money again. $827 billion economic recovery compromise package. Nonsense. So, again, when Mitch McConnell said, do you have that soundbite of the Jesus Dominion thing ready?
You started spending the day that Jesus was born and you spent $1 million every single day. You still wouldn't have spent $1 trillion.
That's right. Look at the math. Run it in your head without a calculator. Jesus was on this earth 2,000 years ago. $1 million a day is $365 million a year. Times 10, okay? Times 100, times 1,000, times 2,000, you have about $750 billion. Now add another $1 billion. That's what your government wants to do to you. Let's go back. $1 million a day from the time Jesus was on the earth will not equal the amount of money these criminals want to steal from your children. That's it. I rest my case. I rest my case, ladies and gentlemen. We have an accidental president who never held a job in his life, who never ran a hot dog stand, who knows nothing about balancing a budget, let alone balancing a business, who knows nothing about job creation, only about government. And here is a man giving a speech, looking uncomfortable at the podium, looking uncomfortable on Air Force One, looking uncomfortable in the way he deals with the media when they ask him a real question. The anger flares across his face, and he clenches his fist. He looks baffled when he gets on board Air Force One as though he's an interloper. And the only economic solution Obama knows is to give away money to his friends. That's why I say Barack Obama, ladies and gentlemen, is the accidental president. Be prepared for the worst. If you think that this gargantuan pig barrel bill is the worst he can do, you're mistaken. It's only the beginning of what he's going to do to you if you let him get away with this. That's my opinion. Now, I will take your phone number, phone calls here at 1-800-449-8255 in a moment. I'm not quite ready for phone calls. It's too hard because I have to wrap my head. See, I'm one of the hosts who listens to you and relates to you, but it's hard to do. You have to think about it. Let me read you some related stories first to get you really agitated. Here's a nice one. Here's a nice one. General Motors, those nice, fuzzy, warm American folks who run General Motors, they're getting a... they're getting how much are they getting? Over $1 billion? Well, the point is they're getting a lot of money from the taxpayer. So you think General Motors would use the money to keep America car manufacturing here. You're wrong. General Motors is going to invest $1 billion in Brazil operations. The money is coming from the U.S. Rescue Program. GM plans to invest $1 billion in Brazil. In Brazil, and the money is coming as part of Obama's stimulus bill, and it'll be used to, quote, complete the renovation of the line of products up to 2012. Not coming from Brazil, not coming out of the Brazilian economy, it's coming out of your pocket. And General Motors, the criminals, the gangsters, the thieves, the bums who should be in jail, are taking that money and investing it not in Detroit, but in Brazil. Now, how much more of the so-called bailout stimulus money is going to go to subsidize American businesses based in other countries? How is that possible that they won't even vote on an amendment to make sure that the contractors have to hire American? Answer, because they're criminals, because there's no accountability. We saw over the weekend, I was watching, it was raining out here, I saw a hero. You say, are you too negative? I'm too negative. You don't like it? Take a walk. Go listen to some positive crap on some other show, okay? I'm a negative guy because the world's a negative place. I heard a real hero over on C-SPAN the other day, and that was Harry Markopoulos, who tried to blow the whistle on this criminal crook SOB Madoff in 1999. He repeatedly went to the SEC, and the SEC spun him and wouldn't do anything about it because the SEC, you say, why didn't they do it? You keep saying the SEC is incompetent. What you don't understand is they're not incompetent. You don't understand the SEC is not incompetent. They're owned. Don't you get it? They're owned, or else one of them would be in jail. Chris Cox would be in jail by now or indicted. They're owned, you schmuck. Goes up to the top and they say, drop it, don't do anything. So Markopoulos kept trying to get the SEC to do something since 1999 on Madoff, and nobody would do anything. And Markopoulos, by the way, who's a very mild-mannered-looking man, it turns out was 17 years military and a number of years in special forces. I said, something in this guy explains this. He's like a Greek warrior. Of course, he doesn't look like it. That's for the movies. That's for the movies. They make him look like Greek warriors, but in fact, they aren't. The real Greek warriors don't look like Greek warriors. They look like ordinary men. I saw that my whole life. It's the ordinary man who's the hero. Usually the guy who looks like a Greek warrior is, well, we'll let it go at that. We'll just pause right here because I'm not in a nightclub. So Jackie Speier, Democrat California, who I normally despise because of her far-left politics, asks SEC investigator Harry Markopoulos why he feared for his life. Okay, listen to clip 15 and 16 back-to-back.
I would like to just say for the record that I see you as a modern-day Greek hero. You spoke about not using your name, handing over documents with gloves on. That's a bit of paranoia, one might say. And I want to know why you had that concern.
I don't consider it paranoia. And the reason is Mr. Madoff was running such a large scheme of unimaginable size and complexity. And he had a lot of dirty money. And let me describe dirty money to you. When you're that big and that secretive, you're going to attract a lot of organized crime money, and which we now know came from the Russian mob, and the Latin American drug cartels. And he could not afford to get caught, because once he was caught, and once he knew, if he would have known my name and that he knew that he had a team tracking him, I didn't think I was long for this world.
You hear this? So if you think Madoff is a mild-mannered Jewish accountant who was just smart enough to outsmart people, you're crazy. You idiot, you. That's why he's under penthouse arrest. That's why he struck a deal today. He won't spend a day in jail. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Was sitting here waiting for the hammer to fall on your children's future, and it's frightening. Reid and Pelosi demanding an extra $100 billion that was taken out of this pork barrel bill. They want it back in. There's no bottom to their greed, you know. So that's what we're talking about. I saw an article over the weekend I put up on the website, michaelsavage.com, trying to live on $500,000 a year in this town, meaning New York City, like they're the tip of the, you know what. You always, everyone in New York thinks they're better than everybody. In my experience of having lived there, they're the most provincial people I've ever met live in New York. But we won't go into that. The important thing is that you hear that the government said, if you're going to get a bailout, you're only getting a maximum of $500,000 a year. And they're saying, oh, my God, how could I live on $500,000 a year? How can I live on $500,000 a year? I'm in New York City, and I have a certain image to maintain. So they broke it down of what $500,000 a year would buy you in New York City. Private school, $32,000 a year per student. Mortgage, $96,000 a year. That sounds like a cheap joint to me. Co-op maintenance fee, $96,000 a year. Nanny, $45,000 a year. That's a $269,000. That's without taxes. And Obama said $500,000 is the top pay for banking executives whose firms accept government bailout money. And they say it seems like a lot, and it is a lot. To many people in many places, it is a princely sum to live on. But in New York City and its suburban enclaves, where successful bankers live, $500,000 a year can go very fast. So then they break it down, you know, how it is. And they tell you what they're spending it on. And the cold, hard math can be cruel. If a person is married with two children, the weekly deductions on a $500,000 salary and taxes are federal tax $2,645 a week. Social Security $596, Medicare $139. State taxes $682 a week. City tax $372 a week, bringing the weekly take home to $5,180, or about $269,000 a year. So in other words, if you make it $500,000, you're taking home $269 off the top. Then they go to a real estate executive, said that most well-to-do families take at least two vacations a year, a winter trip to the sun, a spring trip to the ski slopes, total minimum cost $16,000. A modest three-bedroom apartment, she said, which is purchased for $1.5. Not the top of the market, not at all. California, you know, 1.5 bars, your chicken coop. Carries a monthly mortgage of about $8,000. A co-op maintenance fee of $8,000 a month. Total cost $192,000. A summer house in Southampton that's cost $4 million, again, not top of the market, carries annual mortgage payments of $240,000. So it goes on and on. It says many top executives have cars and drivers. A chauffeur's pay is between $75,000 and $125,000 a year. The higher end for former police officers who can double as bodyguards, said a limo driver who spoke. Some of them want their drivers to have guns. You get a cop, and you have a driver. To garage that car is $700 a month in New York City. Personal trainer, $80 an hour, three times a week, comes to $12,000 a year. The work in the gym pays off when one must don a formal gown for charity gala. Going to those parties, a woman can spend $10,000 to $15,000 a dress. If she goes to three or four of those a year, she's not going to have to wear the same dress. So three gowns is $35,000. And they go on. You get the point I'm making? Now, what you hear me saying in every statement is, who says you need three dresses a year? Who says you need a personal trainer? Who says you need a bodyguard? Who says you need to send your brat to private school and so on? I'm the product of public school. So are my children. My children went to state college. They both did very well. The rest was up to them. They didn't need tutoring. They didn't need tutoring. They needed me as a father and their mother to tell them what would happen if they didn't do their work. That's all. That's what they needed. The fear of God put into them. All they had to do was look around and find out what the losers wound up doing in the Bay Area. They wound up working for Gavin Newsom or God forbid, a supervisor somewhere. But you know the point I'm making. Who says you have to have a nanny and you have to have two children in private school? Why? And dining out, restaurants, dry cleaning suits, this and that, kennels for the dog, you know, donations to charities. I've been to those charity dinners. I usually leave before the main course. I went to one last week, very nice people, but you sit me down between the drinks and the appetizers, I'm gone. Who could sit through a charity dinner? I'm wearing the same tuxedo that I bought 5 years ago for my daughter's wedding. I didn't need a new gown. I didn't need a new tuxedo. Nobody knows it's 5 years. It looks new. It still fits me. What do I need a new? I could have bought 10 new tuxedos yesterday. I could buy 10 new ones today. I'm frugal. I don't need new tuxedos and new this and new that. I like things that are broken in a little bit. There's not even a stain on the lapel of my tuxedo. It looks perfect. It still fits me. Why? Because I bought a very expensive tuxedo because I know clothing. And you buy the top of the line, great stuff if you're a man. It lasts forever. And it always looks good on you. But that's irrelevant. The point I'm making is this excess that these people can't live on, it's because they're used to it. They don't need that money. They just lead a different life than they think they need to lead, and you've got to cut them back. They can't live that way, so let them move somewhere else. Let them move to Indiana if they can't make it there. What do they want from me? What does he need a bodyguard and the driver for, the schmuck? Let him drive himself. Let him take the subway. Let him get the newspaper pushed into his face. I don't understand what you mean you can't live on $500,000 a year. You certainly can. How about put the children in public schools? Obama didn't do that, by the way. His lovely daughters are not in public schools either, Mr. Marxist. Mr. Neo-Marxist children are not in public school. That's for somebody else. His children go to the same uppity school that all of the libs send their children to in Washington. That God forbid they should send them to a public school. They'll be able to find out the product of their actual policies. If one of these liberals ever sent their daughter to a public school in Washington, D.C., they'd see the policies of what liberalism has wrought. The child would come home naked and black and blue if he came home at all, stripped to the bone. They'd come home in sackcloth. That's a result of liberalism.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Trustworthy and can't handle their own budget and taxes.
This is a legitimate question. I've appointed hundreds of people, all of whom are outstanding Americans who are doing a great job. There are a couple who had problems before they came into my administration in terms of their taxes. The individuals at issue here, I know them personally, and I think these were honest mistakes, and I made sure they were honest.
Blue Monday, how I hate Blue Monday. Got to work, plan to sleep all day. Here come Tuesday, oh, Tuesday.
In two short weeks, the most hopeful presidential candidate in history in 2 weeks has become Mr. Fear or Mr. Doom. What's interesting to me is that shortly after Bush took office in 01, the vermin in the media said that Bush was talking down the economy. The vermin in the media was saying Bush was evil for saying the economy was slowing down. Now, here you have a president, Mr. Obama, who is trying to scare you to death. The world will come down. The sky will fall. Armageddon collapse. From yes, we can get over this, to no, we can't. We're going to die unless you give us this boondoggle. And the media, of course, goes along with it because that's their job, is to be patsies for the liberal agenda. Already Mr. Hope has become Mr. Fear. Not yet Mr. Dope on a Rope. But that's coming soon. And the longer people hear, the more they hear, rather, about what's in this pork barrel bill, the less they like it. Rasmussen, I would say they're as middle of the road as they come. They're reporting a 66% of disapproval. I have friends in the business of government who tell me that they're running 99 to 1 to not pass this bill. You understand this? Do you understand how bad this is? So the overall is that the so-called stimulus bill is nothing but liberal pork barrel spending, pent-up demand for 40 years of liberal programming, and over the long haul, a disaster to the economy. That's the reality of it here. I mean, what do you want me elected representative? Your duly erected representative is not listening to you at all. It's terrible what they've done to this country. They've emasculated this democracy to an extent that I don't know that it can be sewn back on, to use a crude metaphor. And I don't like to indulge in hyperbole of this manner. As you know, I can be very brutally brusque, but I'm never verbally vulgar. Never. So you look on the bottom of MichaelSavage.com and you see an article, man cuts off own penis and flushes the toilet. He was a psycho, but there's a metaphor there. Instead of us doing it to ourselves, we're letting these empty skirts do it to us. They cut off our masculinity and threw it down the toilet. Speaking of which, there's a new study out that shows that marijuana may raise testicular cancer risk, which explains, of course, why liberals are the way they are. Marijuana use may increase the risk of developing testicular cancer, in particular a more aggressive form of the disease, according to a new U.S. study. That explains why they act the way they do. You know, they have one where there should be two. Marijuana may raise testicular cancer risk. It accounts for 40% of cases and can be more aggressive and more difficult to treat. I've been trying to warn you. You know what? Smoke at your own risk. But if you wind up like Hitler with one instead of two, don't blame me and don't say I didn't tell you. The study of 369 Seattle area men, if they can find 369 Seattle area men, I guess they found the 369 men in Seattle who were men. The study of 369 Seattle area men ages 14 to 44 with testicular cancer and 979 men in the same age bracket without the disease. The control group, they found that current marijuana users were 70% more likely to develop cancer of the testes compared to non-users. The risk appeared to be highest among men who had reported smoking marijuana for at least 10 years, used it more than once a week, or started using it before the age of 18. I know a lawyer who meets this he looks like already both of them rotted out the way he behaves. An Obama worshiper. Won't even argue with you over Obama's policies. Skirts away like a crab. He can't even support his positions, but he knows he's right. It could be the marijuana. But as long as you can make your money through class action lawsuits, I guess it doesn't matter whether you have to argue or not. What you do is you sink your greedy teeth into some business you didn't create and you suck the money out and call yourself a great Democrat, you bum, you. The study found the increased risk appeared to be in the form called type of testicular cancer. It's bad, very aggressive. Very, very aggressive form of cancer directly related to marijuana, but they don't know how. They said the researchers said they were not sure what it was about marijuana that may raise the risk, but they know it does it. It says chronic marijuana use can also have effects on the male reproductive system, including decreased sperm quality, which is why most pot smokers have no children. And the ones they do have are only suitable for government jobs. 1-800-449-8255, Michael Savage. The article's on michaelsavage.com. Look at it. I didn't write it. The study's a major league study from a good source. It's published in the journal Cancer. And if you don't believe me, keep smoking. Keep smoking, and you wind up with one instead of two. Don't get back to me and say, I should have listened to you in the year 2005 through 2009. You should have listened to me. Uncle Mike knows what he's talking about. 1-800-449-8255. Terrible thing. You know, there's no joke in this. I'm not getting to any joke, but when I was in my 30s, because you worried about it at that point, experts are very unsure about the causes of testicular cancer. But it often strikes men in their 20s and 30s. I thank God when I hit 40, I knew there was one less thing I had to worry about. You figured, all right, you're going to get a heart attack one of these days or something else. Alzheimer's, you all know what you're doing. But the idea of getting testicular cancer scared me all through my late 20s, early and 30s. You know, you heard about it. It hit. Some people knew they got it. couldn't blame. You don't know what to blame it on. I feared it. You know, ooh, that would be terrible walking around without, you know, or any one, whatever. But thank God that one, that bullet, you know, whew, that howitzer went through. There are benefits to getting older. Certain diseases you can forget you're never going to get. The ones you're worried about, some of them, you like juvenile onset diabetes, you're not going to get at 50. You may get adult onset diabetes. That's another story, which you can control through diet and exercise. But you're not going to get the juvenile onset diabetes, which you can't really control without insulin, by and large. And there are other illnesses that you, as you get older, actually you're and you could do certain things as you get older that you're saving yourself. What are you saving yourself for at a certain age? What are you saving it for? The Undertaker? I mean, how many pleasures do you have left in life at a certain point? You go out, you can't eat this, you can't eat that. You calculate this, I can't eat that because of the heart. That I can't eat, that I can't eat. By the time you get through, you don't even want to eat dinner. You may as well go home and have Jell-O already and live in a hospital bed. So at a certain point, you have to forget it all. Throw away all of your crutches at a certain point and just live. Play Frankie Lane, I'm going to live until I die. Then I'll go out the door, I'll take a break, I'll go outside and not have a cigar because I don't smoke. I'll have a mental cigar and come back and field your calls as we await the great Obama the Magnificent giving us the pitch to sell the liberal pork barrel spending program.
They're going to say, what a guy. I'm going to play for the sky. Ain't going to miss a thing. I'm going to have my fling. I'm going to live, live, live till I die.
Savage.
I'm going to live till I die. I'm going to laugh instead of cry. I'm going to take the town and turn it upside down. I'm going to live, live, live till I die. They're going to say,
before my number's up, I'm going to get some cup. I'm going to live, 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 live before I die. Am I on the air already?
Live, live, live. Till
I'm back
die.
On? All right,
the
terrific.
The blues will lay low. I'll make them stay low. They'll never trail
Mr.
over
Hope
my head.
Mr. Hope has become Mr. Fear.
I'll be a devil.
Mr. Hope has become Mr. Dope. He went from being able to save the world and the economy to, unless you give me the $1 trillion I need, it's already the world's going to come to an end. He didn't know this before he ran. It's worse than he thought. It's going to collapse. The sky is falling. And we have 40 years of pent-up demand for night basketball on steroids. And you're going to pay for it under the guise of a stimulus. I read to you where the money's going in the last hour. I'm not going to do it again. I mean, you have to, you know, listen carefully to understand that most of it's not going to create jobs. When you read that General Motors is going to invest $1 billion of bailout money to aid their Brazil operations to retool the line of products in Brazil, you know that gangsters are running the government. You say it was always like this? I disagree. It wasn't always like this. No, it was not always like this. It was not always like this. We've never had such a generation of thieving, crooked. Here's an email from one of my friends, and I'm proud to say advertiser, Craig Smith of Swiss America, the great gold company. He says, Michael, can I say, I better enough read it. I don't know if he wants me to read it. Babe, if you had to find out if I can read the email because it's so good, I don't know if he wants it out there. Email him and find out if he wants you to read it because I don't want to give out what he wrote. You know, maybe it's private. Who knows? To me, there's no private. There's no private. Stimulus survives Senate test. $838 billion package. I love the word package like it's something neat and tied up that they own already. This package, you bum, you. What do you mean this package, you piece of garbage? You should be in an orange jumpsuit. You should be cleaning toilets in Brazil, you creepy bum, you. Package. Everyone has a word for it. Package. You filth, you. You never earned a dime in your life that was honest, you filthy bum. All you want to do is steal it from everybody. Package. Newspaper. Moves ahead 61-36 despite Republican opposition. Ooh, evil Republicans are standing in the way of the great man himself. Ooh, those evil Republicans. If only we had a system like Chavez does, there'd be no evil Republicans. It'd be 100-0. Now just think about what a one-party system would be. You leftist vermin, you. Think of how nice it would be like to live in a single-party system. Wouldn't that be great? Just like Hitler had and Stalin had and Pol Pot had, Chavez has. That's what your man Obama would like to have, wouldn't it? You bums, you think you're going to put 15 million of us in a concentration camp like Bill Ayers and his friends talked about. You think you're going to get us in those camps? You think you're going to be able to knock us off so fast? You got another guest coming. Push us a little further. You're going to see what's going to happen to this country. You'll see what happens to the tolerance. But I'm stopping right here because I shouldn't do this. Here Australia's on fire, and an imam on a website in Australia saying, burn, baby, burn. It's what we should be doing to Australia. You hear this? You hear what tolerance has wrought in this world? You hear this? Here's another one just came out, another news alert. Judges tentatively order California prisons to release thousands. You hear this? This just came out minutes ago. A special panel of federal judges ruled minutes ago that California will have to release tens of thousands of inmates to relieve overcrowding over the next several years. The so-called judges, the filth in black robes, said no other solution will improve conditions that are so poor that inmates die regularly of suicide. So they're going to release them into the street. The San Francisco-based panel, the three judges, the judges. Who are the judges? We don't know. They may as well be wearing Ku Klux Klan outfits. In other words, if you wanted to look at a judge in the state of California, if I were a cartoonist, if I had to put outfits on the Supreme Court of the state of California, I'd put Ku Klux Klan outfits on them. They're more dangerous than a Klan ever was. The Chief Justice of the state of California, who is likely to rule that the votes of millions of people against homosexual marriage should be thrown in the gutter because Jerry Brown wants it done that way in order to appease the homosexual mafia, so he thinks he's going to get elected because of it. It's amazing to me what Jerry Brown has become. That I expected from Annie Toussaint Newsom. Annie Toussaint Newsom I knew was a whack job a long time ago. He was bought and sold by the homosexual lobby a long time ago. In fact, I don't think Annie Toussaint Newsom knows the difference between whether or not that's sane or not sane. The guy doesn't know what he's doing. I think he's like a complete ditherhead. Jerry Brown, on the other hand, I felt was a rational guy, liberal, of course. I thought he had moved to the center. I even gave him money in the last election. I admit it, because I was convinced that he had moved to the center. I wake up a few months ago and I see the top law enforcement official in the state of California says he's going to try to nullify the votes of millions of Californians because he realized that without the homosexual mafia, the Hollywood money, he can't become governor. It just shows you how far things have fallen. So now you say to yourself, three judges have said they're going to release thousands of prisoners into the street because their health care isn't good enough? The stench from the bench is making me clench. The stench from the bench is making me clench. How could so many millions of people be bamboozled by so few is what I don't understand. I don't understand how this has happened. When the majority of people know who they are, hate their rulings, meaning the judges now, and yet we go along with it like we have to. We don't have to. Don't you understand that? If 10,000 people showed up on the steps of the California State Supreme Court, when those Ku Klux Klan members in black robes are going to decide to nullify your vote, 10,000 people, men, women, children, and said, you better not. You better not do it, you Ku Klux Klan members. You better not hang the voter from a tree. If 10,000 of you showed up outside the state Supreme Court, I can guarantee you these Ku Klux Klan members in black robes would not nullify your vote. I can guarantee it. Now, how come the hordes could be motivated to come out for this sham President Obama? How did he get thousands of people to come out in the streets and rally for him? Well, we know that ACORN, filled with criminals, filled with drug addicts and prisoners, was out in the street because they were funded by the illicit Democrat Party machine. And they're going to get hundreds of millions of dollars from Obama's so-called stimulus plan. Now, if you say that's job creation, in a sense, you're right. Giving a job to a drug dealer, giving a job to a crack dealer to come out and community organize in a way is a job. And so, yeah, there's some job creation here. So if you say giving $40 billion of the money to cover state pensions is job creation, you're crazy. You just default on the pensions. That's all, like everyone else. Make believe it was a Ponzi scheme. Default on the pensions. There's nothing sacred about it. Times are bad. Tell everybody who's on a pension they're getting 40 cents on a dollar. Too bad. Sue us. I don't have to pay for their pensions, their engorged pensions, just because they're expecting it. I expected a lot in my life, too, that got taken away from me by government social engineering. Too bad. I don't want to bail out everybody on a pension. every bureaucrat. Give him 40 cents and a dollar.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. Are you all ready to bow down in about 26 minutes to get on your hands and knees as the Great One appears to tell us why you must give him $1 trillion or else the sky will fall? We're all awaiting for the accidental president, the president who has resulted from the perfect storm, giving us his speech. And we can't wait to hear how important it is that you give up your children's future in order to make sure that Nancy Pelosi's friends are rewarded. This comes to me from Craig Smith, my sponsor for many years from the beginning with Swiss America. And I'm going to read it to you cold. Michael Savage, these creeps in D.C. just don't get it. Here is the latest estimate of the potential damage. 63% of Americans are against this monstrosity. They were 72% against the TARP. TARP did not work. America has got this one right, Michael, but the politicians are ignoring them just like they did on the TARP. America is tired of being borrowers, spenders, and consumers. Americans want to be producers and savers, but Congress refuses to allow them to do the right thing. Congress wants more spending, more borrowing to so-called stimulate the economy. Each poll who votes for this bill should be seen as an elected official who refuses to represent his constituents. I agree, Craig. I agree. After three decades of prosperity attained by borrowing, Americans are realizing the big house, fancy car, and lavish lifestyle is just not worth the price of debt. They want to earn, not borrow, to get ahead. Your father and mine would be heartsick to see how most people live off debt. 1929 men were producers and savers. 2009 men are borrowers and spenders. 1929 men jumped out of buildings in shame. 2009 men shoot their whole family in fear. Times are different. We cannot use what worked back then. We cannot spend our way back. We must produce and earn. And look, he understands currency and money, and so do I. This is not going to help the economy at all. It is temporarily going to help the supporters who put Obama in power. And there will be some largesse flowing, no doubt, through the patronage positions that he's going to create in the FDR manner of the Works Projects Administration and whatnot. But they're patronage positions. So you say, well, we'll get even with them at the next election. No, you won't. Because I'll tell you what the next shock to the system is coming. I'll tell you as sure as I sit here. If these evildoers are permitted to get away with this without listening to the people, which it looks like they will be able to do, in order to make certain that the people will never be heard from again, that is, the majority of the taxpayers will never, ever have their voice heard again in the new Venezuela called North America under Obama, there's only one sure way for them to do it, to stop your vote from counting, and that's to legalize 20 to 30 million illegal aliens who will put the Democrats over the top. For the rest of your life, you'll have a one-party system forever, and we're going to live in a sort of banana republic like America. There will be a rich class, there will be an increasingly poor class, and the middle class will shrink dramatically. Yes, there will be a middle class, but it will shrink dramatically as a result of these sick socialist policies of the neo-Marxists running this country. New York City, WOR, Scott, you heard my opinion. What's yours? Not there. Scott, are you there?
Dr. Savage.
Yes, fire away.
Dr. Savage. I served as a policeman when I got out of the Marine Corps in Washington, D.C., and I disagree on one thing you just said a few minutes ago, that they weren't dishonest like they are today. I can't tell you the number of congressmen, senators that we would catch in sex stings out on the highway. I had occasion one time as a young police officer, and we're going back 40 years ago, mm-hmm. 2 months after Chappaquiddick, old Mr. Kennedy comes riding along in his big limo. Didn't have mm-hmm. a driver, was driving it himself. This is the God's honest truth. He didn't have a license to drive. We knew the news there. I called one of my officials to the scene, and he says, what, are you crazy? We got to let this guy go. We're going to lose our jobs if we don't do that.
Why was he driving his own limo? That I don't get that. What, to throw the police off the track?
It wasn't a big stretch limo. It was his own personal black Cadillac.
I see. He wanted to be alone, in other words.
Well, it was a Saturday morning, and he said he was going to the Senate office building because he had some work to do, but he shouldn't have been driving at all. His license had been...
I see. Well, he was sowing his wild oats. So if occasionally the wild oats bring you into Chappaquiddick Creek, what can you do?
Yeah, well, you know what? The corruption in Washington, D.C., the normal people that haven't dealt with these people before, the corruption is from the top to the bottom. All I'd like to see in my lifetime, after we get out of this crisis that this president is scaring us into right now, is that
right.
The heads will roll. And I'm so frustrated now.
Oh, wait, Scott, whose heads will roll? If we know the SEC is corrupt and owned and bought like prostitutes on a cheap street, that's the only explanation as to why they looked the other way while Markopoulos was trying to blow the whistle on Madoff. If they're bought lock, stock, and barrel, who is going to prosecute them?
Exactly my point. You know, we've got a new guy ahead of the Justice Department. You think he's going to go after the criminals on Wall Street? You think
no, he's going to go after the homophobes.
Glenn Raines, you know, stole all that money from...
You're telling me Eric Holder is going to go after the SEC, the corruption in the SEC? You're telling me the new Justice Department is going to go after the corruption in Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac? No, they're going to go after the normal, hardworking male who looks the wrong way at a certain class of people.
Right. They're going to go after the small-time guy and make it look like they're doing their job. You know, but the whole fact is that we're living in such a time of corruption from our American government. I have lost all my good ideals I had. When I was a young rookie policeman going into Washington, D.C., I wanted to change the world. I wanted to see justice and law and order. And you know what? It doesn't exist anymore. The criminals out there, they do it with the white-collar crime. They steal from us.
My God. You know, when I got to tell you, let me answer this, Scott. I saw a story today that I put up on my website that you got to look at the story. I forget where we got it from. It shows the guy who busted out one of the banks. I forget his name. Fold, I think. You know, accountable for having broken the bank. And he was called before Congress. He just transferred his houses to his wife. But he's not alone. Three of these people, who are no doubt going to be indicted shortly when the government finally catches up to them and finally does their homework enough to do it. In the interim, these guys are taking their houses and their possessions and transferring them to relatives so they can't be touched. Here, disgraced Lehman Brothers CEO Dick Fuld isn't the only embattled corporate bigwig to pass over a pricey house to his spouse. You got to see this story. You won't believe this. In other words, they see what's coming down the pike, and they're moving to protect their assets before they're nailed to a cross. And that includes Chrysler boss Robert Nardelli and ousted Merrill Lynch exec Stanley O'Neill, both of whom have been named in suits, gave their wives deeds to their properties. O'Neill handed his wife a $20 million duplex in a Park Avenue building. You can't believe this. This is in plain daylight they're doing this.
Look at what Bernie did there. He sent millions of dollars of jewelry, artwork, and other crap from his penthouse to relatives. So, you know, and I'll tell you something right now. You asked last week on your show, what is what's his name, the ex, the Fed guy, where is he?
Who? In what department?
The Treasury Secretary there.
Hanky Paulson. What, he go back to Goldman Sachs?
You had asked the other night on your show, what's he doing now? Well, you know what he's doing? He's counting the suitcases of money that he got as graft from all these people that he fattened up over that whole issue.
I believe that Hank Paulson is the biggest criminal in the history of the world. I think he got away with the largest crime in history. That's my personal belief.
They have suitcases of money, and we're the ones that are going to...
Wait a minute. Here's a guy, O'Neill, was thrown out of Merrill Lynch in late 07 with a $160 million golden parachute. Do you hear this number? Here's a guy who busted the company out, thrown out with a $161 million golden parachute, while little old ladies and men out there were robbed of their pensions because of this. How could this happen?
How could
a just government that sold itself on hope that was going to clean up Washington turns out to be more corrupt than any government before it?
Berman at the top. And what's happening right now is if these people, the head of our government, would go after all these criminals and recover all the money that they've stolen from the American public, we wouldn't need a bailout.
Amen. That's right. The assets. I kept saying it. Seize the assets of Bernie Madoff. Seize the assets of his wife, his children, his grandchildren. What are they letting him live in penthouse arrest for? Because the judges, and you're a guy who knows the truth. The judges in New York are corrupt. 99% of them are owned lock, stock, and barrel like prostitutes. Do you agree or disagree with that line?
You can't disagree with that. They're corrupt throughout the year.
How do you explain that Judge Weinstein in New York, I forget his first name, who does a lot of mob cases. You remember those two detectives, Eppolito and the other one, who were found in Las Vegas in a restaurant in retirement? It turned out that they were hitmen for the mob. One of their uncles had been in an organized crime, whatever. So they arrest them. They bring him back to justice in New York. And Judge Weinstein says he's throwing the case out because the statute of limitations was up. Do you remember that travesty of justice?
He's on the take, too. You know, is it a mystery that these people are taking millions
of
dollars?
No, it's in plain. Look, it's like if you watch The Godfather again, they say, who do we own in the courts? Or they say the Godfather owns the judges, right? He's got the judges and the politicians. What does that mean? What, things have changed from the 1940s till now?
And the press. I watched The Godfather again last night for the 18th time. And you know what? Nothing changes.
Right, right. Remember when the papers roll, a dirty cop found involved? Sure, they own the newspapers like they do today, which is why the American people don't even read them anymore.
Well, all I want to say before I go is, you have listeners out there that are going to listen to the sale job we're about to get in a few minutes from this guy who is just fear-mongering the entire American public. You know, we've lived under fear from our government ever since I was a kid. You and I are the same age. We're from the very similar backgrounds. My mother came from Europe. You know, the fact is that they have kept us in fear. You know, remember when they told us we got to go under our desk because the Russians are going to bomb us?
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, now Obama, Mr. Hope, is telling us that we're going to get hit with a financial nuclear bomb unless we give him our children's income. By the way, my friend, don't forget to pay your taxes by April 15th. Uncle Sam wants you.
Because you know what? They'd put me in jail if I owed them 15 cents. And you too.
I know.
Dr. Sav,
that's right, because they keep us under a threat. They keep us under a threat of imprisonment. You understand how these slime balls operate.
You got to keep talking out there, and you got to keep informing people the way you do on a daily basis. I love you. Who loves you, baby?
Let me ask you something. Where is, you know, Giuliani was a great guy in the early days when he used RICO back in the 80s to hound people, right?
Right.
But he used, by the way, what you may not know is that Mad Dog Giuliani used RICO back in the 80s to hound some innocent Wall Street traders, all of whom were eventually exonerated, and he did it simply to get publicity for his mayoral run. But where is the honest prosecutor who's going to use RICO today to bring down this corrupt government? Who's going to do it?
We can only pray that somebody's going to come on the horizon soon, because if we keep up at this pace, the criminals in this country are going to take over from the top.
Well, wait, look, I don't want to let this go. I saw those hearings over the weekend of Markopoulos, who was on to Bernie Madoff in 1999. He went to the SEC over and over and over again. He feared for his life, and they did nothing. In your estimation, as a former detective, do you smell corruption at the SEC from the top down?
Oh, absolutely. How can you deny that?
And I don't deny it. I don't deny it, but I want to know why there's been no indictments of SEC chiefs until this day, whether it was under Bush or under Obama. Why are they not indicted?
It's a smoke screen right now. You know, everything is based on the economy. That's all news you hear out there. You know, and I feel the same way. I'm totally frustrated that these criminals like Murdoch, like all of them, are just having a free ride, you know. We're not going to ever see these people prosecuted. Now we've
got
an attorney general.
Well, what's going to happen is when Madoff walks on some kind of insider deal, there's going to be a horrendous uproar. Something horrible is going to happen to him from an investor. Something terrible is going to happen. There's no way this guy's going to walk. And just walk free. It's not going to happen. Someone's going to go off like a Roman candle. Scott, I know that you're amongst the millions of people who tell me that my show is important to them, and I want to thank you for listening to this show.
Listen to you every single day. You know, if it hadn't been for my conservative teacher son-in-law, I probably would have never turned on to this thing. But I'll tell you something. You have got it going for you. You got to keep that word out there so people, you know, America.
I'm sending you. I got to run because I'm going to lose my advertisers in a minute. Scott, I know that you're an important listener. I'm sending you a free copy of my autobiography, Psychological Nudity, which, strangely enough, Stay in a Line, is all of a sudden selling. I'm not even selling it. The people are going to the website, and all of a sudden I may have to reprint again, which is a problem for me because I have to rewrite certain things and take things in and out. All right, I'll be right back.
Savage. need Don Corleone, those politicians that you carry in your pocket. Like so many nickels and dimes.
What is the interest for my family?
30%. In the first year, your end should be $3-4 million, and then it would go up.
And what is the interest for the Dettaglia family?
I'll take care of the Dettaglias. Out of my share.
So I receive 30% for finance, political influence, and legal protection. That's what you're telling me.
That's right.
There it is. So Coppola and the writer of the original book certainly had a little eye on New York in the 40s and 50s, and you say things have changed, okay? Yeah, keep your eye on the ball. That's all. So there it is. I mean, we're watching this now. You could say, well, okay, so corruption's been around since the old temple, which it has been. Money changes in the temple. In fact, I was at my friend's house the other night for dinner, and he has two old shekels from biblical times that are propped up under magnifying glasses. It was astounding to me. I never held a shekel from the biblical time. And he told me they're authentic. It was amazing to me. And he said, look carefully. That's the temple that Jesus preached in about the money changers in the temple. I said, my goodness, this is amazing. Coins thousands of years old. So the corruption, in other words, that we're revolting against on this show and elsewhere across America is nothing new in that regard. And it is like, let me put it in another context. I heard years ago that department stores had shoplifting, and they let it go on and accounted for about 10% of their loss, of their costs were shoplifting. And I used to think, why would they let it go on? Because they wanted the buyer to feel comfortable, the shopper. So they didn't overbearingly lean on people. So they knew they'd lose a certain amount to pilferage in order for the business to operate. They let a certain amount go out the door, you know, owing to shoplifting. In other words, if they got more draconian, the people would get more nervous and they wouldn't shop as much. So the psychologists who do these things figured, okay, let them have more freedom and we'll have a little more shoplifting. Less freedom is less shopping, you know, and catch more burglars, shoplifting. So, in other words, the cost of doing business has always permitted theft of the in a department store. And it's the same with a government in a country. We know there's corruption and graft going back to biblical times. And a certain amount is to be tolerated, but not at a point where the nation is bankrupt. In other words, at a certain point, it's a zero-sum game. You can't permit the graft and corruption to arithmetically progress to this extent that they're now saying, bankrupt your grandchildren or else. That's like permitting the shoplifters to take over the entire store. That's what's going on here. The shoplifters are our congressmen, our senators, and our judges. Those are the shoplifters. They're now running the store. And so now when 100% of the business gets stolen from you, what's left to sell? Well, in a few minutes, we're going to hear from the shoplifter-in-chief, who is going to tell us that unless we give him money unto the third generation, the sky will fall. It's interesting to me. He ran on hope and change, and Mr. Hope has become nothing but Mr. Doom and Gloom. Mr. Doom and Gloom is about to appear and tell us that unless we give him our children's inheritance, we will experience the grapes of wrath. I rest my case. You say, well, what would you do, Big Shot? What would I do, Big Shot? What I did for myself, I projected out to the world at large. I've had very bad years, and I had to live through them. You think I liked it? You think I like driving a broken Volvo with a four on the floor shift? No, I wanted a new BMW with a bib on it. When my kids were young, I couldn't buy it. Oh, I could have bought it if I was willing to sacrifice my entire life and mortgage my house, which I wasn't willing to do. I wasn't raised that way. I could have taken out a second mortgage and leased a new BMW to be a pimp here in Marin County. I didn't do it, though. I drove a broken Volvo with four on the floor. You think I didn't want a new car? You think I didn't want to go on expensive vacations? I didn't do it. And no government gave me a bailout. Instead, they took from me what was rightfully mine. They took away my birthright because I was a white male in a society that said white males need not apply. But I'm not going there. I'm not complaining. I'm their worst enemy right now. I'm their nightmare. But the fact of the matter is, I got myself out of my own recession by being extra frugal and by saving and by planning and by putting aside for tomorrow. Go tell that to the shoplifter and chief who's about to speak in a few minutes. Tell a shoplifter in chief that you don't want this spending binge to go on.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
And countless lives. There'll be jobs creating the 21st century.
All right, this is Michael.
Classes.
I'm live. We're listening to President Obama's pitch for the gargantuan spending plan. Let's listen.
Police officers that would otherwise be eliminated if we do not provide states with some relief. Now, after many weeks of debate and discussion, the plan that ultimately emerges from Congress must be big enough and bold enough to meet the size of the economic challenges that we face right now. It's a plan that is already supported by businesses representing almost every industry in America.
But it's not supported by the average person nor by businesses that are not getting any of the money.
It contains input, ideas, and compromises from both Democrats and Republicans.
Nonsense. You wouldn't even pass a clause that prohibits contractors from using illegal aliens. The bums wouldn't even vote on it, Obama. Stop it.
Where and how we're spending every dime.
Lie. Lie, lie.
What it does not contain, however, is a single pet project.
That is nonsense. That is utter nonsense.
Of the projects, members of both parties.
From aquariums to storm windows are pet projects.
Now, despite all of this, the plan's not perfect. No plan is.
No, here we go. Now comes the Madoff BS.
Everything in this plan will work exactly as we hope, but I can tell you with complete confidence that a failure to act will only deepen this crisis, as well as the pain felt by millions of Americans.
But why act so fast?
My administration inherited.
Why not act slowly at lower cost? What's the rush?
But because we also inherited the most profound economic emergency since the Great Depression.
Yeah, but they took $100 billion out of it, and Pelosi wants the $100 billion put back in to show you how open it'll be.
Even greater job loss, even greater loss of income.
We know Bush broke the country. I admit that. I agree with you. I was not a Bush supporter. But you brought hope, and now you're giving us fear.
I refuse to let that happen. As long as I hold this office, I will do whatever it takes to put this economy back on track and put this country back to work.
Uh-oh, by all means necessary, by direct action.
I worked so hard to move this plan forward. But I also want to urge all members of Congress to act without delay in the coming week to resolve their differences and pass this plan. We find ourselves in a rare moment where the citizens of our country and all countries are watching and waiting for us to lead. It's a responsibility that this generation did not ask for, but one that we must accept for the future of our children and our grandchildren.
You mean by putting the responsibility on our grandchildren, we're going to help this generation of people who want to live now and have it now? Give me now, buy me now, so our grandchildren should pay for it? No, you're wrong.
Smaller differences in service of a greater purpose. That's the test facing the United States of America.
The greater purpose?
Winner of our hardship.
Wait a minute. The greater good for the greatest number? Sounds like Karl Marx a little bit in there.
Stay true to that purpose in the weeks and months ahead. After a day of speaking with and listening to the fundamentally decent men and women who call this nation.
Oh, yeah, home, right. You listen to the Savage Nation. We're not decent.
We
10 million of us should be put in concentration camps.
And that's what I intend to promote in the weeks and days ahead.
Name one fiscal conservative who you listen to. You would not even permit a vote on no contractor money for illegal aliens.
Earlier today in Indiana, you said something striking. You said that this nation could end up in a crisis without action that we would be unable to reverse. Can you talk about what you know or what you're hearing that would lead you to say that our recession might be permanent when others in our history have not? And do you think that you risk losing some credibility or even talking down the economy by using dire language like
good
that?
Good for you, Jennifer Loven of the AP. God bless her.
What I've said is what others
have said. She has more you-know-what than the men sitting there, the empty suits.
Across the political spectrum, which is that if you delay acting on an economy of this severity, then you potentially create a negative spiral that becomes much more difficult for us.
And if you spend too much, you potentially do damage as well, correct? Potentially?
They did not.
So it's an experiment now for the professor.
And as a consequence, they suffered what was called the lost decade, where essentially the entire 90s, they did not see any.
The professor needs an experiment with your children's income.
So What I'm trying to underscore is what the people in Elkhart already understand, that this is not your
ordinary... What do I care about the people in Elkhart? Why don't you bring up Judy Blah Blah? Judy Blah Blah had 25 children, and she needs a bailout so she could have 8 more implanted in her.
Now, 3.6 million jobs, but what's perhaps even more disturbing is that almost half of that job loss has taken place over the last 3 months, which means that the problems are accelerating.
Why don't you give money for fertility clinics so that every welfare case can get octuplets implanted? That'll increase jobs. There's a job for the fertility clinic and a job for the welfare department.
But it's going to require us to take some significant, important steps. Step number one, we have to pass an economic recovery and reinvestment plan.
It does not have to be $1 trillion. Start with $100 billion this year. Let's see how well you do with it.
In the Senate.
Seems I don't understand. Why not start with $100 billion? That's an awful lot of money. See how you do with it. We'll come back next year for another $100 billion. Why do you need $1 trillion this year?
There have been criticisms from a bunch of different directions about this bill. So let me just address a few of them. Some of the criticisms really are with the basic idea that government should intervene at all in this moment of crisis.
We need government, okay? Start with $100 billion, not $1 trillion. Move on. Next question. You made your point, Professor.
Interfering in the marketplace. And in fact, there are several who suggested that FDR was wrong to intervene back in the New Deal. They're fighting battles that I thought were resolved a pretty long time ago. Most economists almost unanimously recognize that even if philosophically you're wary of government intervening
in the
economy.
And most psychiatrists at Harvard recommend Ritalin for children who don't have hyperactivity. What does that mean, most economists? Yeah, most psychiatrists at Harvard work for the drug company and peddle pills to children. What does that mean?
Paring back their investment. They start laying off workers. Workers start pulling back in terms of spending. That when you have that situation, that
yes, they pull back in terms of spending. They save money. That's right. They save their money, like I did and my father did.
We stand to lose about $1 trillion worth of demand.
So those vermin on Wall Street don't live like pigs.
And what that means is you
put the vermin on Wall Street in jail, my friend, and you'll get some popularity.
The figure that
put Chris Cox in a docket. Arrest the SEC today, and you'll get some salesmanship going here.
Number that I plucked out of a hat. That was Republican and Democratic, conservative and liberal economists that I spoke to who indicated that given the magnitude of the crisis and the fact that it's happening worldwide, it's important for us to have a bill of sufficient size and scope.
Why?
We can.
Why? Why should we entrust you with $1 trillion? Take $100 billion, please.
That still means that
show us you can spend $100 billion wisely from the bank called the American taxpayer. Then maybe we'll give you another $100 billion. You're telling us strong armor? Give us $1 trillion or it'll all die? Sounds like BS to me, doctor.
It's one leg of the stool. We are still going to have to make sure.
One leg of a stool? You ought to say it's stool and leave out the word leg.
The credit market's flowing again because
leave out the word one leg, and I'll know what you're selling here. It's not one leg of a stool. It's stool itself.
We're announcing some very clear and specific plans for how we are going to start loosening up credit once again. And
credits are the bums on Wall Street can make their commissions, those criminal SOBs, so they can send their snotty children to private school and keep their houses up and their apartments and their hookers.
Clarity in terms of how the
I have to pay for the hookers that the guys on Wall Street want. You hear with the bailout money.
Dollars that are being provided to banks on them showing some restraint when it comes to executive compensation, not using the money to charter corporate jets when they're not necessary. It means that we focus on housing and how are we going to help homeowners.
Yeah, but the Republicans are the ones who said it should focus on housing, not your Democratic cronies.
Payments, but are seeing their property values decline.
The Republicans insisted more money go for housing, not your Democratic cronies.
Have to take for dealing with the economy. My bottom line is to make sure that we are saving or creating 4 million jobs. We are making
notice
sure
the new phrase, saving or creating. You know what that means, don't you?
Homeowners are getting some
saving money. Or creating. Suddenly and it's no longer creating.
happy to get good ideas from across.
And how many of those jobs are now held by illegal aliens who don't belong to be in this, are not entitled to be in this country at all? How many of those millions of jobs should be going to an American who's out of work, Mr. Obama? You won't even answer that question because you wouldn't let that amendment even come up for a floor vote today. Shame on you.
That's part of what the election in November was all about. Okay.
Next question, Michael Savage. I'll take your question. Mr. Obama, where did you learn so much about economics since you've only been a community organizer? Have you ever run a business?
What is your strategy for engaging Iran, and when will you start to implement it? Will your timetable be affected at all?
My answer is Allah Akbar. Next question.
And are you getting any indications that Iran is interested in a dialogue with the United States?
I said during the campaign that Iran is a country that has extraordinary people, extraordinary history and traditions.
Great pistachio nuts, I got to tell you.
But that its actions over many years now.
Great pistachio nuts. They export hatred, terror, and pistachio nuts. That's what Iran.
When it comes to promoting
pistachio nuts, terror, and hatred is exported from Iran. Thanks, doctor.
That their attacks or their financing.
Could you just say it like it is? They're a terrorist nation, and we're going to put them in their place, and they better stop acting up. Next question.
Bellicose language that they've used towards Israel. Their development.
Tell them if that little psycho with platform shoes keeps it up, it'll be 2,000 degrees over Tehran.
All those things.
It'll be 270,000 degrees over Tehran and rising.
Destabilizing the region.
And the forecast will be cloudy for 1,000 years.
Our interests, but I think are contrary to the interests of international peace. What I've also said is that we should take an approach with Iran.
Oh, stop mincing words. It's Hitler at Munich. Stop him now or you're going to pay for it tomorrow with other people's children's lives. Bravo, Michael. Oh, come on. I think I'm going to stop. I got to go for a break anyway. I'll be right back.
But they're concerned about the mix of what's
back to the Savage Nation listening in on the president.
If they're sincere about it, then I'm happy to have conversations about this.
I see he's all ears to the press corps.
Tax cut or this infrastructure project versus that infrastructure project.
By the way, I got to tell you, the press corps is not being too accommodating. They're onto this guy. They licked his boots for a year, and now they're embarrassed. Their credibility is on the line. One after the other, even Chip Reed. Who would name their son Chip?
When I hear that,
imagine naming your son Chip. What would you expect him to become? A newsman top.
I just want them to not engage in some revisionist history.
In other words, pony up the money and take a walk. I'm a nice guy. But I got one fundamental question for you, the audience. Why do you have to give them $1 trillion right off the bat, since we know they're a bunch of incompetents? They work for the government. How about $100 billion to start with? That's a lot of money. That's normally phenomenal. Imagine trying to pass a normal bill for $100 billion in normal times. Unheard of. Right? So give them $100 billion and say, let's see how you do. Get back to me in a year. What's this nonsense? I need $1 trillion right now or the sky is falling. Why do you need $1 trillion? You need it because you think you can get it. And then you can build up, you can pay off the 40 years of built-up liberal desires to engorge these pork barrel projects. You know, that's what it comes down to. Take $100 billion and run with it. See what you do with it. That's my opinion. That's why I'm not in government. I make too much sense.
I expect that the package that emerges is not going to be 100% of what I want. But my bottom line is, are we creating 4 million jobs? And are we...
You're not creating 4 million jobs. 18 times you already said saving and creating. All right, now it's saving and creating. In other words, you want to keep the deadbeat bureaucrats on the dole, on the payoff. So they can go for their pension. And last year they can get disabled and get 110% of their income. Let them go take a job, the bureaucrats you're going to keep.
By retrofitting these buildings or weatherizing
retrofitting
buildings.
Weatherizing homes, you hear this? I'd like to be in the storm window business right now. That was a racket when I was a kid in New York, the storm window shysters. What's the storm windows all of a sudden? That's going to save the world, a storm window?
in the case of homeowners...
Where'd this come from? Weatherizing buildings? I never heard anything like this. That's a stimulus plan? Man, I'd like to be in the storm window business.
Now, maybe philosophically, you just don't think that the federal government should be involved in energy policy.
Well, not storm windows, no.
That's the reason why...
I'd like to see who's getting the storm window contracts. That's what I'd like to see, you know what I mean? Who's getting it? Which company in Queens is getting the whole national storm window job?
Debate about whether or not we should be involved in energy policy making.
I guarantee you, if you try to put in one storm window and get government money for it, you wouldn't see 10 cents. It'll go to one company, three companies top.
The same applies when it comes to information technologies and healthcare. We know that healthcare is crippling businesses and making us less competitive as well as...
Right, so offer more health care. That's the way to solve that problem.
And part of the reason is we've got the most inefficient...
Give everyone an oxygen tank so they can go gamble in Atlantic City with a diabetes arm. Sitting with a cigarette hanging out of their fat mouth. You ever see them? You ever see these people? With a cigarette sitting there throwing the quarters in? Go give them an oxygen tank for that.
Put that on an electronic medical record that will reduce error rates... Reduce our long-term costs of health care.
In other words, make sure that they can collect more Medicare so they go to Atlantic City and gamble in their old age. And have a...
Yet another example. The suggestion is, why should the federal government be involved in school construction? Well, I visited a school down in South Carolina that was built in the 1850s.
Well, work for them. They could still add. They weren't learning how to put a condom on a cucumber in the 1850s. What do you need a new building for? So they could put their bodies on YouTube in the hallway? Go give them a new building now with a camera so they can show their bodies to each other.
The auditorium is completely
a new building they need. Oh, poor children. They need a new building. They're in the toilet showing their body parts to each other on YouTube.
Teaching our kids the skills they need for the 21st century.
Yeah, the skill.
That will enhance our economy.
I can picture up my body and send it to my boyfriend. Maybe love me more. That's the skill they need, so they can become prostitutes in the next century.
We can differ on some of the particulars. But again, the question I think the amount
I don't know how much more of this I can take. So I think I'll go to something else after the break. I think I've had enough of this.
Or do you want it to do something?
I've seen the Anointed One. I've heard the Swami. I'm not buying it. My bottom line, take $100 billion, please, and come back in a year after you show me what you've done with it.
Chuck Todd, where's Chuck?
Isn't that what a bank used to do? They give you a certain amount and they say, let's see how you spend it. And you'd say to the bank, I want 10 times what I'm willing to take from you right now, or else I don't want anything. I'm the bank, Mr. Obama, not you.
Savage.
The great Swami Obama. The fact of the matter is, Obama's halo has fallen off his head. The aura of sainthood and invincibility is gone forever. And America, even liberal America, the honest liberals, are finally awakening to the fact that Obama is not the Messiah that they thought he was. It ties into Obama trying to push the stimulus plan down the throats of America. But you see, if you look at it carefully, it's about 8 or 9% meat and about 90 to 91% fat. It ties into The Emperor's New Clothes by Hans Christian Andersen. This was written in the 1800s about another leader of his time who was vain and who thought he was the Messiah. But apparently the story writer, the storyteller Hans Christian Andersen, saw through him. And so he wrote this fable because he was afraid of being arrested. There was, I guess, the worst in the fairness doctrine in place then, where criticizing the emperor was probably punishable by imprisonment, as, of course, Emperor Obama may enact here, because he also is vain. But I want to read this to you. The Emperor's New Clothes by Hans Christian Andersen, dedicated to Barack Hussein Obama. Once upon a time, there lived a vain emperor whose only worry in life was to dress in elegant clothes. He changed clothes almost every hour and loved to show them off to his people. Word of the emperor's refined habits spread over his kingdom and beyond. Two scoundrels who had heard of the emperor's vanity decided to take advantage of it. They introduced themselves at the gates of the palace with a scheme in mind. We are two very good tailors, and after many years of research, we have invented an extraordinary method to weave a cloth so light and fine that it looks invisible. As a matter of fact, it is invisible to anyone who is too stupid and incompetent to appreciate its quality, they said. The chief of the guards heard the scoundrel's strange story and sent for the court chamberlain. The chamberlain notified the prime minister, who ran to the emperor and disclosed the incredible news. The emperor's curiosity got the better of him, and he decided to see the two scoundrels. Besides being invisible, Your Highness, the cloth will be woven in colors and patterns created especially for you. The emperor gave the two men a bag of gold coins in exchange for their promise to begin working on the fabric immediately. Just tell us what you need to get started, and we'll give it to you. The two scoundrels asked for loom, silk, gold thread, and then pretended to begin working. The emperor thought he had spent his money quite well. In addition to getting a new extraordinary suit, he would discover which of his subjects were ignorant and incompetent. A few weeks later, he called the old and wise prime minister, who was considered by everyone as a man with common sense. Go and see how the work is proceeding, the emperor told him, and come back to let me know. The prime minister was welcomed by the two scoundrels. We're almost finished, but we need a lot more gold thread. Here, Excellency, admire the colors. Feel the softness. The old man bent over the loom and tried to see the fabric that was not there. He felt cold sweat on his forehead. I can't see anything, he thought. If I see nothing, that means I'm stupid, or worse, incompetent. If the prime minister admitted that he didn't see anything, he would be discharged from his office. What a marvelous fabric, he said to them. I'll certainly tell the emperor. The two scoundrels rubbed their hands gleefully. They had almost made it. More thread was requested to finish the work. Finally, the emperor received the announcement that the two tailors had come to take all the measurements needed to sew his new suit. Come in, the emperor ordered. Even as they bowed, the two scoundrels pretended to be holding a large roll of fabric. Here it is, Your Highness, the result of our labor, the scoundrel said. We have worked night and day, but at last the most beautiful fabric in the world is ready for you. Look at the colors and feel how fine it is. Of course, the emperor did not see any colors and could not feel any cloth between his fingers. He panicked and felt like fainting, but luckily the throne was right behind him and he sat down. But when he realized that no one could know that he did not see the fabric, he felt better. Nobody could find out he was stupid and incompetent. And the emperor didn't know that everybody else around him thought it did the very same thing. The farce continued as the two scoundrels had foreseen it. Once they had taken the measurements, the two began cutting the air with scissors while sewing with their needles an invisible cloth. Your Highness, you'll have to take off your clothes to try on your new ones. The two scoundrels draped the new clothes on him and then held up a mirror. The emperor was embarrassed, but since none of his bystanders were, he felt relieved. Yes, this is beautiful. It's a beautiful suit. And it looks very good on me, the emperor said, trying to look comfortable. You've done a fine job. Your Majesty, the prime minister said, we have a request for you. The people have found out about this extraordinary fabric, and they're anxious to see you in your new suit. The emperor was doubtful showing himself naked to the people, but then he abandoned his fears. After all, no one would know about it except the ignorant and the incompetent. All right, he said. I will grant the people this privilege. He summoned his carriage, and the ceremonial parade was formed. A group of dignitaries walked at the very front of the procession and anxiously scrutinized the faces of the people in the street. All the people had gathered in the main square, pushing and shoving to get a better look, and applause welcomed the regal procession. Everyone wanted to know how stupid or incompetent his or her neighbor was, but as the emperor passed, a strange murmur rose from the crowd. Everyone said loud enough for the others to hear, "Look at the emperor's new clothes! They're beautiful! What a marvelous train! And the colors! The colors of that beautiful fabric! I have never seen anything like it in my life!" They all tried to conceal their disappointment at not being able to see the clothes. And since nobody was willing to admit his own stupidity and incompetence, they all behaved as the two scoundrels had predicted. A child, however, who had no important job and could only see things as his eyes showed them to him, went up to the carriage. "The emperor is naked," he said. "Fool," his father reprimanded, running after him. "Don't talk nonsense." He grabbed his child and took him away. But the boy's remark, which had been heard by the bystanders, was repeated over and over again until everyone cried, "The boy is right! The emperor is naked! It's true!" The emperor realized that the people were right but could not admit to that. He thought it better to continue the procession under the illusion that anyone who couldn't see his clothes was either stupid or incompetent. And he stood stiffly on his carriage while behind him a page held his imaginary mantle. This is dedicated to Barack Hussein Obama, the emperor's new clothes. And the next time you see an Obama-Biden bumper sticker, or the next time you see an Obama-Biden lawn sign, you'll know that these are the people who would have said, "The emperor has a gorgeous, gorgeous robe." This is The Savage Nation that was written by Hans Christian Andersen in 1837, and I thought I would share it with you. We have to stop him. Get out the impeach Obama bumper stickers now. Start early, start strong. They want community organizing. give them community organizing. They want in-your-face-style, Alinsky-style governance, give them Alinsky-style governance back in their ugly faces. Impeach Obama now. Stop him before he kills this country. That's my opinion. Get out the bumper stickers, put them on your cars, and get the liberals riled up. Get in their faces, scream in their faces. Don't take their garbage because you're losing this country. In less than 3 weeks, he's passed 5 or 6 executive orders. He's made nice to killers at Gitmo. He's granted them rights they're not entitled to. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? This is a naked Marxist. I don't care whether you read it in your newspaper. I don't care whether you see it on the nightly news. It is what it is. If it walks like a Marxist, if it talks like a Marxist, if it governs like a Marxist, it is a Marxist. This man is a Marxist revolutionary. We try to warn you. We try to tell you that as the most liberal senator in American history, when he became president, he would even govern further to the left. Were we right or were we wrong? You know we were right. And this is just the beginning. This is in less than this country. And this is when what's going to be this, what this country will be like? I don't think a petition is the way to go. I think that bumper stickers are the way to go. You'll cause hatred on the roads. You'll cause screaming arguments across America. We need to get 1 million impeach Obama bumper stickers up across this country in the next few weeks. The man has to be stopped right now. A message must be sent to this social revolutionary that we're not going to take this. We're going to fight him tooth and nail. We got to stop him before he gets total power. Look, I saw how Chavez came to power in his country and how he slowly but surely took control of all reins of government and then all reins of the private sector. He closed down opposition television stations. He closed down opposition media outlets. And now he's an absolute dictator of his own country. Obama must be stopped right now. This is the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Savage.
Amazing to me is that $100 billion was taken out of this bill by the time it went from the House to the Senate and back again. And Nancy Mussolini wants the $100 billion put back in. Listen to what I just said to you. Nancy Mussolini wants $100 billion put back into the bill that was removed. Now, why would Nancy Mussolini want $100 billion? Do you know that even Rasmussen is reporting the public is against this by about 60-70%? 60-70% to the other version, 40-30. It's 6-4, 7-3 against this. I have people within the government who are reporting to me they're getting 99-1 against this bill coming into the Senate offices. They've never seen anything like this. Yet the crooks continue to cavort inside the Senate well as though they're at a wedding or a bar mitzvah, rocking back and forth on their heels, smiling at each other as though it's all a joke, saying, you know what, I'll give you an aquarium, you give me a bridge. You want an aquarium, I'll take an aquarium. You want a bridge, you got a bridge. I don't know if you're a fan of The Sopranos as I am. I'm watching replays. It's so well done. But I'm reminded of the Sopranos episode where the organized criminals of New Jersey get a guy, a gambler, a friend of theirs, who's not involved in the crime, and he demands going into a private gambling game with them. And they say, Tony tries to warn him and says, don't do it. You shouldn't do this, Pat. Pat's a sick gambler. Pat's a degenerate gambler. Pat gambles and loses. And he keeps raising the stakes till he's into the mob for a great deal of money. And they got the VIG on him that's so big, meaning the interest, the weekly VIG, that he can't pay it back. So eventually they take over the sporting goods store. And slowly but surely, as the series emerges, this guy who had a thriving, gigantic sporting goods business is completely bankrupted. The mob steals all the stuff out the back door and sells it on the street. They use his credit cards to buy first-class air tickets. At the end, the man is broken and the store is empty. That's your Congress at work, in my opinion. Your Congress, basically, to me, with the exception of a few great men, and there are a few great men out there. I mean, I'm reminded these guys are like our heroes. They're our patriots, and they're all from the Southeast. We have turncoat Republicans who, in my opinion, should be put in prison for what they're doing. we are very close to a Marxist revolution in America. Now, you may think this is alarmist. You may think this is extremist. Has sold out America. Obama went on the Fox News Network and did an interview with Son of Meatloaf, Chris Wallachinsky. And Obama talked about the fact that the European Union had threatened to sue the United States over some provisions in the current version of the so-called stimulus package that would have required American iron and steel to be used in construction projects. And Obama, the great American, backed down. He said he would water down the Buy American plan. He caved into the Euro trash, who threatened to sue us if we dared to use our own iron and steel. I guess when Obama visited Europe during the campaign and said he was a citizen of the world, he was not kidding. When Obama said, if we can't send a protectionist message. So now, basically, Obama has made it un-American to be pro-American. Obama has said we have to protect Europe before we protect America. Obama has essentially said that he owes more to his many campaign contributors in Europe than he does to the steel workers of the United States of America. I want to remind you that one of the first things that Fidel Castro did, and one of the things he promised immediately within the first day of seizing power, was universal health care, universal health care, universal health care. And in fact, Fidel Castro did give universal health care to the Cuban people, but it is amongst the worst health care the world has ever seen. The rich of Cuba fly elsewhere for health care. They go to Florida under aliases. They go to Spain. They do not let a Cuban doctor touch them. They are horrible doctors, horrible clinics, and horrible everything in that health care system. But it is universal health care. That's what Obama is trying to achieve here. That's why we are against socialized medicine, because there is a finite amount of money in the system. There's a finite amount of money for everything. We cannot afford to give everybody on the planet everything they may wish. This is neo-Marxism, for want of a better term. We heard the words neoliberal, neolib, thrown around for 8 years under Bush, and it was appropriate. But let me be the first in the American media to define this administration for what it is. It is run by neo-Marxists. Take it and run with it. I don't need the credit for it. All I need you to do is to define this properly. Josh in San Francisco on KNEW, go ahead, please.
Well, yes, Dr. Savage, to be accurate, what it is democratic socialism, and I can understand that you're upset because it's becoming the predominant form of government here in the United States, as it is in the rest of the civilized world, but you just need to get over it because you lost.
I'll stop using those gay phrases. You're not in a bar in the Castro. You want to have a manly discussion, let's have it. You're a loser. So naturally, to a loser like you who makes minimum wage, you like the idea of what's mine is mine and what's yours is mine. Isn't that really it, Josh? You want to take from those who are smarter than you and who work harder than you?
We believe in using the democratic process to obtain a more equitable distribution of wealth.
You're reading a script in order to agitate me, but I'm not going to go for the bait. You are saying what's yours is mine because you don't have the brains or the guts to earn it yourself. You want to take it from those who do. You see, Karl Marx was the founder of the Communist Party. He wanted to hand the means of production, the manufacturing base of the country, over to what he called the proletariat, or the working people. But people turned out to be a euphemism for the central government. And Marx's ideas ended in the deaths of 100 million people throughout the 20th century. What will the end of neo-Marxist liberalism be? We don't know. But we do know this. With Barack Obama having issued more executive orders in his first 2 weeks than any other president in recent history, and with Nancy Mussolini Pelosi screaming that the federal government needs the power to stimulate the economy, it looks like the neo-Marxist liberals are about to get their way. GW may have started the process of socializing America and its economy, but Barack Obama has bigger plans than GW and his neocons could ever have imagined. We could use a few neocons these days, at least the ones who haven't already signed on to Obama's new Marxism. So that's the neo-Marxist reign that we're living through right now. You better get it straight. You've heard the phrase neocons, neocons, neocons. Well, start using neo-Marxist, neo-Marxist, neo-Marxist. That's what defines Obama. I knew a guy I went to college with who lives not too far from me. I stopped talking to him years ago because he's a lowlife of a lawyer. Not all lawyers are. This one is of the lowest variety, in my opinion. His father was a crook of the lowest order. And this one is a big Democrat who acts very quiet and he talks quietly, you know, in the liberal way, never raises his voice. He's the type that if you let him stay in your house while you're on vacation, he would burn your pots and then hide the pots somewhere so you'd find him a month later. That's the type I'm talking about. To make a long story short, he will not argue with you about Obama. He's afraid to face you about Obama. He just walks in goose step as a true Obama maniac. He's incapable of arguing about Obama. He's incapable of supporting Obama's neo-Marxist policies. He can't look you in the eye and have a reasonable argument or discussion. And this is a man with a law degree. And this man typifies the spinelessness of the neo-Marxists in America today. This is the Savage Nation, and I approve of my own monologues. We've been talking about Madoff, the crook. In every business, there are crooks. Every business in America is run by greed. So far as I can, most businesses, most big businesses are run by crooked people who are sucking the life out of the country. Look at the bankers. What, there's something new about bankers being crooks? The Bible warned against usury. You're shocked that the bankers are usurers? Oh, you're shocked all of a sudden. Thousands of years ago, they were known as greedy bums. What's different today? They run America, that's all. This country wasn't founded by bankers, but it's sure been run by them. And not the best of bankers either. Madoff the Crooked has agreed to settle his civil case with the SEC without admitting guilt. Now, this is astonishing since the SEC should be in jail. Virtually the entire Securities and Exchange Commission should be behind bars, but they've struck a deal with the crook of crooks. Where is the honesty in government that Obama promised? Is he keeping the gangsters at the SEC on because they know too much about what's really going on? I don't think Madoff will spend a single day in jail. But that's my opinion. It's one man's opinion. All right, play Blue Monday.
Blue Monday, how are you, Blue Monday?
So there it is.
Got to work,
there it is.
Sleep on me. Here come Tuesday. Oh, Tuesday. I'm so tired, got no time to play.
This is the Savage Nation. With God's will and your listenership, I shall return.
My girl called, got to tell her that I'm out.
Savage.